That singing sounded so wonderful, I forgot that I was supposed to be preaching. Enjoyed that and really have enjoyed being with you and spending this time together and studying from God's Word and looking forward to tonight as we engage in that so that we'll continue to learn and grow in the grace and knowledge of His will. I want to express my appreciation to Tom and Melissa for providing dinner this evening. Really enjoyed that. Enjoyed getting to see them again. It's been many years since I've seen them, and just have this time together just to renew our acquaintances, and also just spending time with all of you and just being together and just learning and rejoicing in the God, our Savior. As we get into our lesson this evening and looking at a few things, remember, our theme is being. And when you look at this, this is the principal essence of God. And that's been stated throughout the scriptures. For example, Genesis chapter 1, in the beginning, God, being. Over in Exodus chapter 2, where Moses and at the burning bush, and God responds to him, "Whom shall I send?" as Moses asks God. And he says, "Say, I am that I am." In other words, I exist because I exist. And then you even see that with Jesus in John chapter 8. Before Abraham was, I am. And so there is that statement of being. And so it's important that we learn and grow from these things, because they are important to us, that we capture the idea of what God is telling us in His Word. Now, because of sin, we have been separated from God. In our nature, we have this desire to belong. We want to belong to this group or that group. We want to belong, to have a sense of longing to be with a family that loves and that nurtures us. We want to be identified with those kinds of things, that we have that yearning in us. And so many times in our society, people have that yearning, they just can't identify it, and they're looking for something that could fill the void. And so they also go to these various devices, or vices rather, out there in the world. Some will turn to drugs. Some will turn to, along with that, alcohol. And they will all do all kinds of things to try to fill that void in their lives. Why? Because they have that sense of belonging, and God made it that way. In Genesis chapter 1, remember verses 26 and 27, we are created in the image of God. And so this further implies that you and I need to be connected to God, and God has provided where that can be done. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 12 through 15, it is there that the apostle says, "Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul?" Do you see there the Corinthians having that desire for longing? I am of Paul. I want to be identified with Paul. I want to be identified with Cephas. That sense of belonging is there. And Paul has the right to them. They've lost focus. What they need to do is remember that they are to belong to the Christ. They need to be connected to Him. And Paul says, "I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one would say you were baptized in my name, identified with me." No, you identify with Christ. That's what you're supposed to do. And that's what he's pointing out in these verses. And you see that mindset that the Corinthian brethren had. Over in Acts chapter 17, verses 26 through 28, notice as the apostle points out as he's preaching there at Athens, and he brings that to our attention again. Again, we see in these passages the sense of belonging, the sense of identity. And he says, "And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God." And he says, "If perhaps they might grope for him." What is that saying? That man has this urging to belong. And he's groping, he's reaching, he's trying to grab it and make this connection and find his identity. And he says, and find him though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist, as even some of your poets have said, for we are also are his children. You notice that? You can see all of that idea of belonging and wanting to be connected, because God designed it that way. Here's something else in connection to that. Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, where it says, the Lord says to Moses, consecrate to me all the firstborn, whatever is the first to open the womb among the people of Israel, both of man and beast, is mine. In this passage, this is where the establishment of this relationship with God and the people of Israel. And he talks about the firstborn. In other words, what God is doing is he is providing a way that man can be connected. This is in reference to the event that would take place in reference to the Christ. I want you to notice several other passages. I don't have them down on the chart here, but Luke chapter 2, verse 23. This point is mentioned there in that passage, and it's referring to the birth of Christ. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, which you notice again as we have read those passages yesterday, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. You see that term there again. Verse 18, he is also head of the body, the church, and he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he himself will have come to have first place in everything. What we're seeing here is God is providing or provided a way that man can find his true identity. It is there when we connect to God that we will find it. I have even taught this in reference to the marriage classes. When it comes to the marriage relationship, we are bringing something to the relationship. The male and the female are bringing something to the relationship, but there is something that they cannot provide. They cannot provide in filling that deep need that man has for his God. Only God. Only the Christ can provide that. It is only the Christ that can touch the deepest recesses of our heart and mind. Only God can. Because he created us. And I encourage them that there is a deep-seated need in them that they need to find in the Christ. And when they do that, they are going to have a harmonious relationship. Because God is going to be at the core of who they are. And if God is at the core of who they are in the relationship, God is going to be their core. And it will be a beautiful relationship because God made it so. He's the only one that can touch the deepest recesses of our hearts and our minds. And so God has provided a way where man can be connected to him, where those deep recesses can be reached, but only when we plug into the source. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 19 through 23, I want you to notice what the apostle expresses to the Corinthian brethren. He says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness before God. The true wisdom and the true way to learn and walk and be what you ought to be is found in God. He says, for it is written, he is the one who catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the reasoning of the wise, that they are useless. But when it comes to God, they are useful. It fills us up. And he says, so then, let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you, whether Paul, Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come. All things belong to you, and you belong to Christ. And Christ belongs to God. You see this belonging that is mentioned in those passages. We have that urge and that deep-seated need to belong. And he's encouraging them to belong to Christ. And he's bringing that to their attention. And it's a great lesson for us to recognize this. And so the title of the lesson this evening is Belonging to Christ. And God reaches out for us. And he wants us to grab his hand and connect to him as he will lead us and fulfill our lives and get us or give us what we need. That only he can provide. So, what does it mean to belong to the Christ? Galatians chapter 3 helps us with that. As the apostle points out to the Galatian brethren, remember these are Gentiles and the gospel has been preached to them and they're being pulled away by other teachings and what they're seeking or following, thinking that's going to fulfill them because they have been deceived into thinking that way. And so the letter is to cause them to stop and pause. That if they were to obey any other gospel than that which has been preached, he says, let them be accursed. There in chapter 1, 6 through 8. And not only does he say says it once, he says it twice. And I say the reason why he says it twice, that's for hard-headed people. You don't get it the first time, you get it the second time, hopefully. To let them know how important this is. And so in Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, here is where they will find their true identity. He says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor freeman. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise. Now, there's a lot of things that he's stating here that brings to their attention of what he's talking about. Number one, belonging to Christ means that you're going to be a descendant of Abraham. Oh, there. You're going to be a descendant of Abraham. What does he mean by that? He's talking about by faith. Yeah, that's what Abraham did. When you look back at the life of Abraham, when God told him to leave his kindred, leave the country which he was familiar with, and to go to a land that God was going to show him, Abraham obeyed. That's by faith. He believed God. That was obedience. You see, where Abraham was, that's not sufficient. What is sufficient is one's obedience to God. And in you and I, when we have faith in Christ, when we have faith in what God has given to us, then that means that we have the faith that Abraham exemplified or pointed out in his life. And therefore, we are descendants of Abraham because of our faith in God, our obedience. In John chapter 8, verse 39, where Jesus is having this conversation with many of the Jews. You see, they were physical descendants of Abraham, but they were missing the point. They were not exemplifying the faith of Abraham. And Jesus had to point out to them, he says, yes, I know you're descendants of Abraham physically, but you need to be descendants of Abraham spiritually. In other words, if you're calling yourself descendants or sons of Abraham, then you do the deeds of Abraham. In other words, be obedient. You see, that hits right at what we're talking about, that deep-seated need that we have. Our hearts and our mind, and Abraham exemplified that. Verse 56 of John chapter 8, and he says of Abraham, Abraham saw his day and he was glad about it by faith. That God was going to answer or fulfill the promise that he had made to Abraham concerning his seed. That through Abraham's seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. And Abraham saw that by faith, and he was glad. And many of the Jews that he was talking to, they did not like that. They wanted things their way instead of God's way. And God has given us all this opportunity to be a part and connect and belong to Christ and to connect to Him. In Romans chapter 4, verse 3, as Paul writes and talks about this, the idea of faith, he says, Abraham believed God and it was accredited to him as righteousness. In other words, justified because of his obedience to God. James chapter 2 and verse 23 says the same thing. So we are descendants of Abraham because of our faith in God. Yes, true, in reference to our obedience to the Lord. We have the same mindset. As Abraham believed God and did what God required of him, when you and I believe God and do what God requires of us, we're descendants of Abraham. Because we got the same mindset. We're being obedient children. We're rejoicing in the day of what God has provided through Christ Jesus. We have the same view. We have the same hope, the hope of heaven. We have a shared interest to be pleasing to God. And that is true belonging. That is true connection. That is being a true descendant of Abraham. And that's what Jesus was talking about there in John chapter 8 and here in Galatians chapter 3. Here's another thing. Galatians chapter 5, verses 24 and 25. There. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus, notice what he says, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Belonging to Christ means that we have crucified the flesh. We're not fulfilling our desires, thinking about those things that we think can fill that void in our lives. No. We realize, no, that's not it. The only one that can fulfill the void is God. You see, so many failures in relationships come because the person, they're in that void, we're looking for someone to fill that void, and they don't fill that void, and we get upset, and then we walk away. No, that's not how it's supposed to be. You have Christ fulfill the void. And when Christ fulfilled the void, then you become a whole person. Now you're ready for a true relationship because your dependency is on God. Your dependency is on Christ. And now when you bring something to the table, what you're bringing is truth, goodness, holiness, fulfillment, carrying out God's will in your life. And that's where you find true joy. So you crucified the flesh. You put no hope in that. You put it in God. Here is a passage I want to bring to our attention. You see, living a sinful life is unfulfilling. It really is. One of the things I did with my sons is I was encouraging them to look at God and follow His will. And what I did with them, I said, take a ride with me. And I showed them what life looks like without God. I showed them what sin does to lives of individuals. It destroys them and makes, they're in pieces. And they're not fulfilling their God-given abilities. And they saw that. They saw what alcohol does to an individual. I experienced that in my own family. I wanted to make sure it didn't happen to my boys. I wanted to make sure it didn't happen to my family. I know what it does. It creates havoc. It destroys and makes things into pieces. But when you have the Christ, That's when you're brought back and made whole again. That hole in the heart is filled. Even though you may be alone, but you're not in essence, and you realize that because God is with you as you're walking with Him. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4. I want you to notice what what Peter writes to the Christians. 1 Peter chapter 4. And in that, notice several things. In chapter 4, verses 1 through 4, he says, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, he says, arm yourselves also with the same purpose. Because he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. He says, for the time already past is sufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousing, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. And he says, in all this, they are surprised that you do not run with them into the same excesses of dissipation. You know what dissipation is? Waste. Yeah. What is he telling us? He says, living that kind of life is a waste. It's a waste. And he's trying to encourage them to live a life that is fulfilling. And the only way they can do that is serve God. Yeah. Even if it comes to suffering for Christ, it's a fulfilling life. The glories that await those who are faithful. And that's what he's trying to encourage them to do here in these passages as he's preparing them for the sufferings that they're going to face as the people of God. Verse 5. But they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. Isn't that amazing? Living a sinful life is unfulfilling. And it is a waste. That's what he's pointing out to them. So crucify the flesh. Belonging to Christ gives great purpose. It is self-worth. It restores your dignity. Yeah. That's what it does. That's what God wants for us. The question is, do we want it for ourselves? And if we do, God will provide what we need. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 27. Now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. That's what he's pointing out here. Belonging to Christ means that you are a member of his body. Remember what I said last night in connection to this term body? That concept of body is something that functions. And if you belong to Christ, you're a member of his body, that means you are prepared to function as God created you to function. We are not by ourselves, you see. We are to seek to find a place among our brethren using our abilities, the gifts that God has granted to us as individuals. And they are differing, yes. And some of us may have similar gifts in the abilities that God has given us. But we work together as his people. Remember, one of the B's of 1 Peter was be harmonious. Would you notice something else in connection to that in Romans chapter 12? In Romans chapter 12, remember, again, the apostle writes to the brethren at Rome. And notice how he talks about their worth because they belong to the body of Christ. In Romans chapter 12, And remember, he started out by talking about being living sacrifices to God. But there in the following verses of that chapter are several things that are mentioned in those verses. As he talks about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed. Verse 3, for through the grace given to me, he says, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we are many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Now I want you to notice verse 6 and following. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith. Now, I want you to point this out here. Let me pause. Usually, when we hear that word prophecy, what do we think about? We think about the ability to predict something. Really, the idea, the primary sense of that word means to speak forth God's word. To speak it forth. That's really the primary meaning. And in that, yes, there will be some predictions as God reveals. For example, we teach from God's word that our Lord is coming again, don't we? We speak forth God's word, and in that, we're telling people of what's going to happen, and that is the Christ is going to return for his people. And we're going to be caught up with him. And we're going to be with him. Yeah. I'm speaking forth God's word. Some of us, as we see in reference to the order of God's people, some of us may not be able to do that like I am doing. But that's just only one aspect of abilities. Well, at least I think I'm doing a good job. But anyway, do the best I can. But in noticing, again, according to the proportion of his faith, he says, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation. I'll tell you what, there are some brethren that can say some very exhorting words. I admire that. They just have a way of putting things to exhort you to follow the Lord. That's an ability. Use it for the glory of God. It'll fill that hole, that void in your life. You will see your worth in service to the Lord. That's what he wants you to see, so that you might thank him for what you're able to do. And if you're lacking in something, work on it and grow in it. Yeah. That's finding your place among God's people and using that gift for his glory. He who gives with liberality, and he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Yeah. Some people are better at than others. But that doesn't mean we don't work on it on ourselves. Yeah, we keep working and growing. You know, on a job, you know, when you have a job, you know, one of the things they try to encourage you to, is to make yourself valuable. How do you make yourself valuable? By learning more things. And as you learn more things, you become more valuable to the company. And what happens? The raises. Yeah. But think about this in service to the Lord. The more joy that's there. And the more fulfilling life is. And as we go through something like this pandemic, we can rejoice in our God. In spite of this. Because we know this too shall pass. It will. We keep serving him. In fact, that's our theme this year for Mill Road. Rejoicing in the God of our salvation. Yeah. And that's because we're encouraged to increase ourselves, to grow in him. All right, let's look at another passage here. Anyway. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. verses 20 to 24. The apostle, as he writes to the Corinthian brethren, encouraging them to put their trust in worldly wisdom, you see, they had gotten to the point that they did not even believe in the resurrection. He had to help them to restore that. They had to restore that. He says in verse 20, but now Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who are asleep. For since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. But each in his own order. Christ the first fruits. After that, those who are Christ at his coming. And then comes the end when he hands over the kingdom to the God and Father, when he has abolished all rule and all authority and power. Do you know belonging to Christ means we have the hope of the resurrection? I've never experienced that. But I want to. Man, that is power. And the only way that can be experienced is through God, through the Christ. And that's what Paul brought to the attention of the Philippian brethren there over in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. He says he didn't want a righteousness of his own, but the righteousness that comes from God. And he also talked about he wants to know all the things that he accomplished in his life. They are rubbish because he wants to know the power of the resurrection. It would boggle the mind that those who have passed away and all of a sudden they were raised from the dead and there they are standing right before you. It's like, whoa, wow. And to even have been there when the Christ was raised from the dead. Wow. Amazing. Awesome. We have the hope of heaven. That's a fulfilled life. So if you want to belong to something, belong to the Christ. He will fulfill your every need. I even tell folks now, and I'm going to tell you young folks right now, I want to encourage you, if you're not getting married or plan on getting married right now, but at least prepare yourselves. How do you prepare yourself? Connecting yourself to the Christ. Learn to be upstanding young men in Christ. Learn to be upstanding young women in Christ. And as you're preparing yourself, and I even told folks, I said, look, you pray to ask God. If you want a mate, you pray and you ask him. But in the meantime, you prepare yourself. And then when it happens, there is the beauty. He will supply us with what we need. He will fill the void in our lives. And so when we come into a relationship, we are whole. The person that you're dealing with is whole, working together in glorifying God because you belong to him. What an awesome picture for us. So belonging to the Christ means we are descendants of Abraham, in other words, of faith. We crucify the flesh. We don't let the flesh rule. We rule because we allow the Christ to reign in us. And we are members of his body. And then we have the hope of the resurrection. This is powerful. This is powerful for us to keep in mind. And let us stand on this. I want to end with this thought. From Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, when the apostle writes to these brethren for them not to put their hope in the false gods that have been taught and pushed in their society, but to put their hope in God. And I want you to notice what he says to them in those verses. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. That's a powerful statement there. Far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. According to the power that works within us. That's that connection to God. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. I have a sermon called Amen. I want to encourage you, young guys, if you want to get a lesson up, look at where Amen is mentioned in the scriptures. It's amazing. And this is in connection to the one who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. That says a lot. I serve him because of who he is. It's not about what he can give me, but because of who he is. You see, he may never provide me another cent on this earth, but one thing I do have that he has provided, and that is the hope of heaven, that is to be with him throughout eternity. And if you have that deep in your heart, in your mind, and you allow that to rule you, you'll be able to conquer and overcome anything because of him. If you will, bow with me in a word of prayer. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, thank you for your word that shows us these things, that you want us to belong to you, that your desire is for us. And may our desire for you, Lord, be the same, that we will reach out to you, that we will connect with you, that you will fill the void in our lives, that we'll trust you wholeheartedly and never turn away, knowing that our goal is to be with you throughout eternity. Thank you, Lord, for that hope. Thank you for Christ Jesus, the firstborn, who is our head, and may we follow him wherever he leads us. To you, in Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
If you are not a Christian, I want to encourage you to become one before it's everlasting too late. Again, God has provided where you can be a child of his. That, as we talked about Christ Jesus, he is God's salvation system. Yeah, that's the system that God has put in place. You can be saved by no one else. No one else. There is not a name under heaven whereby we can be saved, as Acts chapter 4, verse 12 points out. It's all about him. And I want to encourage you to submit to him by putting your faith in Christ Jesus. Recognize who he is. He is the Son of God. Recognize what he has done. He came from heaven to this earth, died in our place. We deserve that. But because of his love, he died for us so that we could live to God. That's what we need to do. We need to focus on who he is and what he has done. He was raised from the dead, really giving the foundation of what we belong to. The resurrection from the dead. We serve a risen Savior. And then what you need to do is then be obedient by repenting of your sins, turning away from sin. Sin is not, but it's a waste of life, waste of time. It's destructive in its nature. And you see that throughout the scriptures. Repent, turn away from that, and turn to God by confessing him as Lord. In other words, you openly declare and acknowledge that Jesus is your Lord with a commitment to follow. That is how that term confess means. You have a commitment to follow the Lord, the ruler, the master of your life now. And then be buried with him in baptism. You see, you got to get rid of those sins. And that's the only way you get rid of those sins, is by having them washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And when you're raised up out of that water, because what you did was you emulated the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And now you are made whole. The things that you did in your past, they're gone. in the mind of God. And now you have a new master to serve him all the days of your life. And he will do you good. He will do you better, far better than the master that you're serving outside of him. Yeah. Our God loves you. And he wants you to become a part of him. And so tonight, we want to assist you in doing that. And so if we can, we encourage you to come and make it known as we stand and sing the song that was in there.